So it's the culture department. DJ Dips, Shaya Banks is in the building.
Yo.
We've been trying to run this one for a bit too, but
yo, it's been like it's been almost like 6 months since we had this conversation.
Like, when are we doing this thing? But
I mean, but yeah, we're finally here now. Exactly. What's finally going on?
Hey, what's happening with you?
You know, just doing what I got to do, checking out for
music. Number one A&R guy right now.
Exactly. Giving them checking out for new music, looking for the new cats on the block. You know, just trying to put people on.
Makes sense. So, like, what would you say an A&R does? Because I feel like I always get it confused sometimes. Because a lot of people, I realize how a lot of people just call themselves A&R, but it's like, what are you really doing?
So, an A&R is primarily known for three things.
Yeah.
And a lot of people might not even know what it means, but let me start with that. A&R means artist and repertoire. And first, number one, the first thing an A&R does is to shape the sound and search for talent. No, it's actually to search for talent.
Uh-huh.
You search for, you know, talents in, you know, at shows, you know, search for producers who can produce the next big sound.
Yeah.
You know, you search for creatives who are just really good at what they do. The next thing is to shape the sound, right? You define and refine the sound, you know, also find a niche for the sound. You also try to put them in spaces that they'll be more appreciated and, you know, they get to evolve as a creative, you know.
Helping them discover their sound.
Exactly. And why they are in the space that they are in. Then the last thing is to work hand in hand with marketing and the manager to promote the artists, the sound, or the creativity, you know, the talent, right? So it's really much just finding the product, finding the talent, you know, shaping it, refining it, turning it into gold, and then advertising the gold
to the world.
Know, to the world. So pretty much.
What's the latest one you worked on recently?
Oh.
You're not allowed to. This is one of those things.
I can't.
Oh, you can't, are we? Oh, okay. No. I don't mean that it's about to drop. I mean that has dropped.
Oh, okay. The last one I did.
Because I know you were doing some stuff with Joe Boy, too.
I'm A&R in Joe Boy's. I've been A&R in Joe Boy for about, it's almost 2 years now. His next album coming out is successfully done by yours truly.
Yeah,
nice. I A&R'd Adenuga.
Yeah, I didn't go as hard.
Kiz Daniel's project, that A&R, that, you know. But right now, I'm working with Joe Boy, working with more young talents and, you know, producers as well, you know.
So with a song like Adenuga now, like, how do I put this? Like where do you come in? Is it like, oh, sing it like this? Or
You know, there's sometimes where artists can just spaz on a record and they don't know how to define that record. They don't exactly. They're not really sure of what the climax is, where the high point is. You know, they're not exactly sure of what to do to the song, how to approach it, and how to portray it to the people, right? So, and that's where the A&R comes in. Sometimes I even, you know, contribute to the song or get, you know, producers to come into the studio, you know, get co-writers to, you know, contribute as well. So it's just collaborative stuff, right? Just putting hands together and making it work. So yeah.
Makes sense. How far
how does it feel, you being on the other side asking me all the questions?
it's been nerve-wracking. I won't even lie, because usually
you always ask you all the questions now.
Different, man. I didn't want you to see it as me asking questions. I think I want you to see it as us just talking.
Fair enough.
But how far with the hyping, though? Because I'm not really seeing you
do
too much. Like, I don't have to lean back on that.
Trust me, I'm just going to say it like this. The only time you see me out,
they have been paid.
Big bags involved.
I've
done enough philanthropic stuff. You know, for that culture, exactly. So yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm doing it right now. It's a hobby, and it's not really a career anymore for me. It's just a hobby now. And if you see me out, it's someone really wants me to be out, you know. And then they had to pay some heavy stuff. So yeah, I'm really just trying to evolve as a creative, you know, and focus on more parts that have really been undermined, you know, in the past few years. Some of my creative talents, you know, being a media personality, being an A&R, being a music executive,
even music, I saw those two songs, the
Dollar Rise and Drip Check.
Yeah,
I did that one for Nike. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, I mean, okay. You're the one that only if you're allowed to say that.
Yeah, so I did that for Nike for a show called Drip Check. As I was the host for the show, and I had to, you know, just create the record.
Is that done or is still going?
Yeah, it's still going. So we just finished the first season, and we're gonna, you know, start shooting again for the next season pretty soon.
And we hyping. I also noticed that you never really took the club scene. Like, it was never really your thing, right? Like,
yeah, nah, man. I don't really. But trust me, I do it. But you know, when you don't do something that you're passionate about, it has to be for the money. I'm not really passionate about club hype, right?
Because I noticed that it's never really
exactly. Well, I can do it.
Yeah, if it came down to it.
There's nothing concerning hype that I can't do, you know. Yeah. If it's music, I'm there. If it's concerts, I'm there. If it's weddings, I'm there. Yeah. Burial, I'm there. Everything concerning hype, I can do that. But for the clubs, I'm not really passionate about that because it's not really my energy, you know. So unless you pay me right.
Yeah, what would you say is like, because I notice we're hyping. Sometimes I always wonder, like, what's the next level, right? Because I mean, obviously, I know you don't just want to be hyping in the clubs. I'm not even talking about you. I mean, like, as a regular hype man, I know you're probably thinking, like, what's the next level? We like hyping. I mean, it's people like you and Jimmy now, for instance, have taken it to the next level. You, yeah. Jimmy, Dotun,
yeah.
Shodi, yeah. You guys have evolved past, right. You know, Jimmy is doing his presenting,
right?
You do your presenting as well, you've entered A&R and all that stuff. But like, I mean, yeah, like, what would you say is like should be like the next level, or you just discovered that yourself, or you just found yourself doing all these things? Like,
to be honest, I just feel like I was born with so many talents, and I cannot particularly say there's a next level when it comes to hype. It's like it's a craft that is it's constantly evolving, and that evolution will take you back to the beginning sometimes. So I can't exactly say there's a next level, because it's like a sport, it's a competitive sport. You have to keep evolving, you have to be more relatable, you know. So
learning all the new lamba.
Exactly. So for me, I just consider it as, you know, like right now I said, I just feel like for new hype men, you know, especially the ones that are doing it in the club, they need to understand the place of being versatile. A lot of hype men get to the club, do it so well, and when they get on stage, they can't really control the crowd, because that's like another energy in itself.
That's a bigger crowd.
And, you know, they get anxious, they get nervous, because they really don't understand the crowd control of the stage. You know, it's like you're saying one big girl for a club, two bottles. You are saying two at the show. Where is two bottles at the concert? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Except their tables, and they rarely ever is. You know, if you're doing a big major concert, right? Except there are some big men dropping money somewhere for a table or something. But it's really mostly people in the crowd. So you can't be using lamba of two bottle over there. You can't be doing that at a concert, you know. So the place of versatility has to just come in.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
A lot of times. So I mean, let's hop into the music, man. So like,
let's go.
What do you feel like the music scene is looking like now? Do you feel so at the beginning of the year I felt like everything was a bit slow. But now it seems like it has started coming out how it should come out. But compared to last year, I don't know what is more like in terms of like outputs.
Like, so I personally think that the economic situation of the country has really affected how music is consumed right now, especially in 2024.
And how it's put out too, right? How it's created.
How it's created, how it's put out, and how it's consumed. Most importantly, how it's consumed, because, you know, you can really just do whatever you do. Like, some songs have been made even like from like 2021, 2022. and they put them out just now, you know. So for me, I just think, you know, a lot of people are quite distracted. A lot of people don't have distracted as much. I mean, they're dealing with, like, you know, issues of life. You know, people trying to eat first before they can use their ears. You know, I mean, the clubs are, you know, people are not really going to the clubs to turn up and live YOLO anymore. A lot of people are more calculative, you know. If you're going to the club right now, people look at you twice like, ah, you're a big man. No, do you understand? Yeah, yeah. So the dynamics has changed.
It's a select few in the clubs. Exactly. When I mean select few, I don't mean numbers, so, I mean percentage.
Exactly. So it's either you're rich, the rich getting richer, so it's, you see more rich at the club. The average guys that used to go to the club, who are the active consumers, right, most of them are actually now
at the raves.
Do you understand? At the raves. They're not the average guys, are a lot of them are getting poor, right? And the poor is also getting poor. So it's just a thing of the people that listen and consume the music right now are quite distracted because they're trying to keep their jobs, they're trying to keep their livelihoods going, and you know, there's not so much, the attention span has drastically reduced. Before it was like 30 seconds per song. Now it's like 15 minutes. If you don't hook them within 15 minutes, it's gone. Yeah. If you're dropping an album, it's like the first three songs. Mm-hmm. But now, if the first one don't bang.
But funny enough, I feel like it's been like that for a couple of years though.
Oh, yeah?
The attention span. Like, you drop a song in like 2 months.
Yeah. You know, yes, the attention span has always not been high. But now it has drastically reduced.
It's even worse now. Yeah, that, like, you can't catch me in the first 1 minute.
Exactly. Like, that's how bad it is right now. And to be honest, I know it's only going to get better, but I just sense that until we figure out a way to make people happy outside, you know, the music, like, let's just keep them motivated. There's always going to be those guys who love music, appreciate it, but are still distracted enough. But I'm still distracted to consume it enough to make that impact that it's supposed to make. I don't know if you get what I mean. Even if you notice, the number of shows have also reduced. The number of concerts happening.
No banner.
Exactly. So
who's going to come for the show?
Whose fault is that? It's the economy. Yeah, do you understand? Yeah. So at the end of the day, even the way to keep promoting or to just keep ripple effect promoting those projects has been affected. Right, so the economy has gone a long way to affect, you know, how music is being consumed right now.
Well, that's tough. When you think about it that way, it's actually
quite something, you know. Only God fears us,
bro. No more.
Yeah.
What's like your favorite project right now?
To be honest, it's hard for me to pick, but it's between two. The Year I Turned 21 by Ira Starr.
Oh, okay.
And Asake's recently released album. And yeah, I think I really like Asake's album. Lungu Boy.
I've been listening to it all weekend, man.
Yeah,
all
I think weekend. It's the album I've listened to the most.
Yeah, me too.
From Asake, actually.
It's the album I listened to the most this year, period.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like, Naija album, yeah. Probably the Asake one. I've listened to the most.
Yeah, to be honest, I was actually quite impressed. A lot of people don't. It seems like a lot of people don't like the project.
Exactly. People are still.
Yeah, they're still not getting.
But you know, I don't know. You know, ever since I learned that, or that I heard that, some people are even paid to bash albums. Since then, I stopped taking people's opinions.
Really?
I was just like, well, you know what?
I mean.
Because I'll be hearing some weird takes online. I'm like, right. Oh, what are you even saying? Do you listen to this thing at all? Do you get? Imagine someone listening to the album today, and the album just dropped today. By night, you're already giving a review. I'm like, bro, you've not even let the thing breathe.
Digest.
You're just talking. Yeah. Are you just talking to talk, or you're talking from?
It's crazy.
From facts.
I mean, some. I don't know. It just feels like some people want to. You know, it's like everybody's going this way. This is
good.
This
is good.
You just want to.
Yeah.
I know. Sometimes.
Because even a song like MMS.
Right.
I saw someone saying some stuff about it. And I was like, bro, did you even listen to the song?
Like, that song.
Like, the way Asake started the song.
Right.
Was like the layup for Wizkid to talk about what he spoke about. How did he even start? If he said something about
That song,
like, it was a perfect layup for Wiz to say what.
Trust me,
said.
I think that song brought out like an emotion in me that made me,
you listen to your song with you just listen.
Trust me. And the emotion Wizkid put into that project, into that song, made me patient enough to listen to the album properly.
The album started
quite slow, and then I think from the sixth track, it took a peak and then climaxed.
Yeah.
So for me, I think that particular MMS record, that Wizkid emotional part, everything just sort of made me made me patient enough to understand what Asake was trying to do with this project. I think he was really trying to go far away from the Amapiano, vibe and everything. And he successfully did that.
There wasn't too much of that going on. Mm-hmm. It was more musical than,
right.
Maybe that's why people are, maybe people were expecting that Asake of 2 years ago.
Right.
You know, but this was more musical than, you know, club bangers. So
Even
though you still have club stuff, but.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting? Because I personally think, for an artist who's been here for like 3-4 years now, 3 years, right? I think, especially because people are already familiar with your sound. When it came out, it was new, it was fresh. People were like, it's exciting. This is different. This guy is cute. You know, it's
Lamba
different.
Is still, Lamba is still there. He was still giving us Lamba.
But the exciting thing is, he has shown a very strong sense of versatility. To be honest, it just seemed like Asake was going to come with a wave, with an Amapiano wave. He was just going to be here for a while. But what he has done with this album, he has shown me
that he can go anywhere.
He can go anywhere. He was really trying to get in that international bag on this one. He was really trying to do something international. And, you know, for a creative that's been here 3 years, especially because people have gotten familiar with your sound for 2 years, they want to hear something different. It's always tougher to give something different when you already are known for a particular sound and a style. And for me, I think that's what really makes me affiliate with that project, because I'm a creative myself. I know what it means to evolve. I know what it means to try something different and stay consistent, right? When you're already at the high level, when you're at the peak. So, I mean, for that, I give him props, because it's not easy to do something, be successful at it, and try to switch and still try to get it right.
Even with a song like Active, like the way even Travis was able to still stay relatable. It was crazy.
That I feel like it's one of the best definitions of fusion I've seen in a minute.
And shout out to SARS too.
It's crazy. It's like they blended two or three songs to create that record. Like there's the American record on there, there's the Nigerian Fuji record on there, and then there's something else, you know. I don't know, man, but SARS is just like the guy. So he's creating something like that, I feel like that's a proper fusion. And I no disrespect to Burna Boy, but I don't think I really heard a fusion with samples and originality that good on a record in a minute. I'm still waiting for Burna's album. You know, when it drops, maybe my mouth will change.
I think Burna, when it comes to Burna, I leave Burna alone.
Let's just leave Burna.
Burna is on his own lane.
He's on his own lane.
So I didn't even try and compare anything.
For that record, that particular record, right? There's a Fuji element in there. There's an Afro element in there. Do you understand? Burna is more inclined to. Yes, he has the Afrobeat side, but when he's doing fusions, he's more inclined to hip hop and R&B.
But then he has that higher song.
That's what I'm saying. That's Afrobeat's Burna. That's not fusion. If you think about it properly, like if you listen to that song,
and he has some piano elements in it.
It does. That's what I'm saying. It's more Afro than even American or. But you know, the fusion is like. Fusing cultures, that's what this song really represents. This Active record, right? It gets more. Okay, you have that hip hop
'90s.
It has the Afro Amapiano side, then the Fuji side to it. I think it's brilliant. Yeah, I think it's brilliant.
Perfectly executed. Yeah. But do you think anybody has had this type of run before? This Ashaka run?
The run?
Yeah, this run is. This run is.
Oh, man.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, man. Like, oh, wait. Let's deep it though. If they don't have that run, Wiz.
Where they were just going back to back every year. Yeah. New projects, new. Like, I won't be surprised if he's dropped this jam now. I won't be surprised if this is August. I won't be surprised if in October he gives us another single again. So you guys just collect this one for December.
I know, right?
You understand?
I know, right? I mean, you know,
he doesn't stop, man.
I think he could do that. I also think Rema could drop another album. You know, just my.
Oh, you think he can drop another album?
Yeah,
this year? I don't think he needs to.
He doesn't need to, but like, he just might.
I think he has like 4 songs on the album to go for the rest of the year.
You're right, but at the end of the day, that's not really how it works. Because if you look at it, sometimes it's really just the vibe, and sometimes the attention span, like we said. Before you know it, people can
just like how he dropped Woman.
Exactly.
I heard the story about how he dropped
exactly.
Woman.
Exactly. Crazy stuff. Yeah. You know. He was angry, he lost the BETs, got in the studio the next day. Ozedi Kosa and Boss Brain.
Yeah. So maybe if he had won the BETs, maybe he would have never had Woman.
I know, right?
Yes.
I know, right? That's another way to look at it.
Yeah, you're speaking to the vibe thing you're talking about. Like,
right. It's just really a vibe. Like, and I feel like on this album, Rema did his. He was really just trying to go more Afro. He was trying to solidify. And
the song He Is was mad.
Yeah, it was mad. He may not say this, but I think Rema is trying to solidify that Afro pop banger status. Like, you know, the run Wizkid had back in the day had so many bangers before he decided to go fully international.
Yeah, he did the Wiz thing.
He had the Backroom.
He had the EME thing.
He had the Baddest Boys. Mm-hmm. He had the Superstar, Dondo, Tease Me. He had all of those bangers that, you know, he could play 10, 15, 20 years and they still slap. I think that's what Rema was really trying to do with this album. Mm-hmm. Was trying to create like a catalog of bangers. Mm-hmm. And Rema definitely knows how to create an album. Mm-hmm. I mean, his debut album showed it excellently, right? His Deluxe showed it excellently as well. So I think he might just give another album sooner than we expect to just lay out that proper.
No, but I think you should let them chop this one very, very well first. Because, but bro, have you seen? You see how it is now when that Oziba comes on?
Oziba, it's crazy. Macham, it's actually crazy.
Bro, it goes
it's actually
crazy. I think the one they haven't really chopped very well is the Yayo. And I really like
Yayo. Yayo.
I really like
Yayo.
The song. But they haven't chopped it the way they are chopping Oziba. And,
you're right.
And Macham.
I think
seems.
My fave is probably Yayo.
My favorite is probably
Yayo. I also like Villain.
Because you can listen to it without doing too much.
Yeah, you're right. And it doesn't really give the dark Rema. I mean, I also like Villain.
Villain, I can relate to that personally.
Yeah, sometimes you might just be the villain. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're trying to be the good guy, you could be the bad guy. Yeah, you know, and there's so many.
Exactly.
I
like those elements. Yeah. I don't know what they were saying.
It was actually saying something about there's so many people.
It sounded Indian.
It's Swahili.
Oh, okay.
So he's saying something about, you know, there's so many guys that are good or something like that, but I'm number one.
Okay, that's what it translates to.
Yeah, that's what it translates. And He Is actually means number one. So
in Swahili or just in general?
I think in Greek or Latin, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But yeah, it means number one. And for me, I think that's the highest intentionality that anybody could display.
On his song.
And shout out to him, man.
Shout out to make good stuff. He's been up and up since he started.
Yeah. His consistency is spot on.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, anyway, I think we can wrap it up here, man.
Thank you for having
just
me, man.
Just something real quick with my guy.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. I'll see you guys on the next episode.
Nice one. Peace.